Hello, this is international football commentator Derek Ray. And make no mistake, this is your source for all things black and gold. Football just wouldn't be football without Berwick Rangers. Stand by for this edition of the Let It BRFC podcast.
Welcome to the Let BRC podcast. I'm Adam Hunter and I'm joined by Hall of Famer, Honorary Vice President and Club Secretary, Dennis McCleary. Hey Dennis, how are you?
Good morning, Adam. Not so bad, thank you. But peaceful and quiet at the moment with no football.
This must be the longest. I know you had like time away from the club. Like, is this the longest that you've been without football?
Yes, definitely. The spells I had away were pretty short. One of them was primarily because I moved jobs. I was working with a local authority and I got a chance to work for Wansbeck Council at Ashington.
Right, yeah.
And I was in sport and leisure at Newbiggin Sports Centre. So I was away for a year, near enough a year, but I was still keeping in touch and helping out when I could, you know, behind the scenes. But obviously I wasn't technically involved as much, but that was the most time. I had a couple of short spells away, but this is the second season now where we've had it curtailed, you know, but not a lot we can do. Just got to take it on the chin and hope that next season we'll get back to normality in a full season.
Definitely, yeah. And for yourself, it's over 50 years of experience that you've had in your role, should we say, but it all started with Harry Melrose bringing you in. How did that happen?
Well, it was basically because I was doing the PA, which was just reading the teams out, etc. You know, I didn't do anything else, but I got to know Harry fairly well, and my wife and myself were friendly with Harry and Betty, his wife, and we used to go out occasionally, and at the time, the club had a secretary, and although he was more of a company secretary, and Harry said to me he was looking for some help on the admin side of the football because he knew I was working in admin, etc. So he said, do you fancy coming in and helping out behind the scenes and help me with the football admin side? That was 1970 season. So I was really keen to do it. So I hadn't really thought it would go on as long as it's done. But I did it for 6 years in that role. And then Dick Shiel, who was the secretary, stepped down in 76. And I moved in to the secretary's role. And I took over as company secretary as well as football secretary. It was just at the time when Alex McNabb got involved with the club. Nice. And I went in full time for about 8 years, you know, from 76 right through to about 84. And I mean, there were heady times for the club, as you can imagine, with the championship, 78, 79, and some big games, big crowds. So then I went back part-time. You know, things obviously never stay as you want them to. The club obviously were doing really well for a time and then fell on hard ground a little bit, and I stepped back to part-time. I went to work for Royal Mail in 84 and stayed on as part-time secretary.
Over your period of time with the club, over the 50 years, you've worked with you've worked with 23 managers, which is some going. How would Harry Melrose rank as part of that? Would he be your favourite just because of the fact that you were close and you were friends to start with, and then he was the one that brought you in to the club in a more official capacity?
Yeah, I mean, 23, as you say, some of them more than once. Some of the managers have been here a couple of times, you know. Jimmy Creese has been here a couple of times.
Coughlin.
John Coughlin, Ian Little. Just to throw some names in the melting pot. But yeah, Harry was brilliant. I mean, Harry was a great player as well. I mean, he came as player manager. He'd been playing for Dunfermline, won the Scottish Cup, played for Aberdeen. It was the old-fashioned inside right, if you like, you know, just playing alongside the forwards. But he was a great organiser and he was meticulous in his preparation. Harry used to do this huge book and he used to put details of every match in, you know, both teams, and he would put little comments in about the players of the visiting team, and he also put in comments about times you were leaving to go to away matches, times the bus had to leave. When Harry left to go back, I think it was to Dunfermline as manager, he gave me that book to look after and said, look, just keep it going if you can.
Oh, wow.
It was a bit of a Bible, you know, and I should imagine it's still lying around the club somewhere. But you're going back a long time. But Harry, yeah, I would pick Harry as manager, or I have picked Harry as manager of my all-time team. Basically, I mean, a lot of good managers I've worked with. You know, you could pick so many of them. But I picked Harry because he brought me into the club and we had a good working relationship. And I'm still friendly and see him. And it was great to see him down here a couple of years ago. He came down with the family to one of the games and he's looking really well. And yeah, great times with Harry. Spent about 5 years with him at Chilfield.
Yeah. You mentioned around the promotion years. Would you say that those were your favourite times of being involved with the club?
Definitely. Even better than the cup matches.
Yeah.
The cup matches were a lot more harder work, can I say. You know, when you were getting Rangers and Celtic and Hibs when we got them in the quarter-final.
I was reading an article this week and it was talking about the amount of press that was coming to Rangers games, and we used to having like 3 seats for press and you were having to find 20 when it sort of sold out as well.
I think when we had Celtic here, the last time we had a big cup tie, was something like 36 press. So, I mean, the press box holds only about 6.
I know.
So we had to put some seats reserved in front of the press box, you know, the tip-up seats, give them all numbers so they knew where they were going, and it was a busy time, but the championship years were definitely the highlights. I mean, 78, 79. I mean, we just missed out the year before, but that year it was a hard league when you had teams like Dunfermline and Falkirk in that league, and we were down about fourth or fifth, and then we had a great run. I mean, the last 6 games of the season were all away from home, just the way it fell, you know, with call-offs and things. And, I mean, we were going to places like Stranraer, who were a decent side, and winning like 5-1 and things, you know. And it was just the way Dave Smith operated. He played an attacking team, you know, and just was scoring goals. And, I mean, we clinched promotion at Cowdenbeath on the Wednesday night, winning 2-1. Peter Davidson and Eric Tate scored. But we actually won the title without playing because Dunfermline had to win at Alloa, I think it was, on the Saturday, and we weren't playing for some reason. We had a free Saturday, and they didn't win, and because of that, we clinched the championship. And then the last game of the season was on a Sunday at Dunfermline, and Dunfermline and Falkirk were vying for second, and Dunfermline had to beat us to get second place ahead of Falkirk. And I remember it was like a beach there. East End Park was really sandy and it had a hard winter. They beat us 2-0 from memory that day. I don't know whether we were just as much up for it as we had been in other games.
Yeah.
And we were never in it that day for some reason, but the firm were because they knew they had to win. But yeah, that was great. And I mean, 2006-07 was even better because we won the title on our own ground, as you know, that day against Arbroath when we had well over 2,000 in, and about 500 or 600 down from Arbroath because they still had a chance of winning the title. But Ian Dyke scored the goal in the first half, and we had a few nervy moments, but it was great. But I can remember it was a really dry spring, and the pitch was rock hard, and we actually got the fire brigade in, and we got some water on it on the Friday night,
right?
Just to help it a bit. Don't know whether it did the residents around by any favours, mind. But it was an exercise for them as well, so it helped to put a bit of water into the pitch. Because, I mean, we had a sprinkler system, but nothing like what you see on these Premier League grounds, you know, when the whole lot come out. We just had the one. Yeah, that was a great season, 2006-07. And remember that season, Adam, we weren't fancied at all. I mean, we'd lost a lot of players the year before.
Yeah.
a lot of players to, and John Coughlin had to rebuild that team. He brought a lot of players in from like junior football, East Scotland football, and added them in with some of the more experienced players that were there. You know, your Robbie Horns, your Gary Woods, etc. Just to name two off the top of my head. But the team gelled and played really well. I had some great results that season. So that was great, but it didn't work out for us the next season, as you know. We were back down again. But so those were good times. And then the cup matches, you know, plenty of cup matches over the years, plenty of full houses.
I remember
trying to keep on top of the health and safety.
Like, how difficult is your job for big games like that when it comes to like the playoff game against? The promotion game against Arbroath.
I mean, it wasn't all tickets, as you know. It was just paying the gate.
Yeah,
but what we'd agreed with Arbroath that they would have the a north stand area, which can hold I think about 600 in there from memory, in and around that figure.
It's where we put Cove as well, wasn't it? When Cove came for the playoff game.
We used it for Cove as well. Yep. It was just basically more for segregation. It kept everything nice and neat and tidy. But when we had like Rangers and Celtic in the cups, we used to give them the terracing, the docket area, and the north stand. So Berwick were basically left with centre stand and the south stand. So we did the whole ticket, as you can imagine, with no choice. But I mean, when we had Rangers when Jock was at Rangers, Jock Wallace, when we met them in 78 in the Cup, that was the first time we'd played them since we beat them in 67. There was a bit of a hoo-ha because at that time Rangers weren't keen on selling tickets. We had to get, they were concerned about people infiltrating into the game. So we the club had to build that breeze block wall that you see now around behind the goals. All the way around, that had to be built in a short space of time. I think there's even a picture of Dave Smith helping out building it somewhere. And that had to be built just to try and keep the segregation tighter and make sure there was nobody came in from that trading estate end, you know. But Rangers didn't handle tickets either. We sold the whole ticket allocation to the Rangers supporters for that game. I think we were 10,500 capacity we were allowed for that game.
Crazy, isn't it? Because Hibs were the reason why we took down the duck offence as well, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. That just seemed to happen pretty quickly. I can't remember the full reason for that, but I think at the time it was causing more problems than it would have been with a down, you know. But nowadays it's not a problem, as you can imagine, you know, not having a fence there. But there was a time when we used to have it there, but we used to try and keep the visiting fans down at the what I would call the railway end, behind that dividing fence. But now, you know, even in the second division days, we hardly needed it, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, in the Lowland, you know, most of the clubs in the Lowland don't have a huge travelling support, as you know yourself.
Yeah. Sad, like.
I think our average gate in our last year in Division 2 was 475, and the first season in the Lowland was 344. That was our average gate, you know. So you dropped about 130. That's your season ticket holders and everything built in as well, of course.
Yeah. Hopefully with fans being allowed back in, and I mean, for me, I've definitely missed it, and I'm sure it's made a lot of people sort of reevaluate what they do on a Saturday. So hopefully we do get the fans back in, and maybe some of the older fans have seen what's been going on at the club and haven't been for a while, and they start to come back to games too.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we can easily ticket it. You know, we do online sales if necessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, from May the 17th, I believe crowds are going to be allowed in to stadia. I don't know what affect us this season now, of course, but looking further ahead, I would imagine there'll be some sort of figure put on what we can get in. But I would think we'll be comfortable with that, you know. I mean, the Speedway will be in a similar situation. The Speedway season I think they are opening on the 1st of May with a closed door meeting, but the first championship meeting is the 22nd of May. So even with a quarter of capacity, I don't know what figure we'll get, but even with a quarter, we'll be comfortable, you know, if it was a quarter. Yeah. I'm just talking off the top of my head. We haven't got that tied up yet, but it's easy to do online sales, particularly with the stand, because stand seats are all numbered, and you know, rowed and numbered. So it's comfortable to get. I mean, we've got over 1,200 seats in the stand, you know, if you take everything in.
Yeah.
But I would think there's talk of the Lowland League kicking off again mid-July, so it'll be here before we know it. So let's hope things move on as they're moving on at the moment, and we can get the fans back in.
Definitely.
It wasn't the same, the closed door games. You know that yourself. I mean, you were involved with the film, etc. It wasn't the same.
Yeah, it's not. So fans that make it, and that's the biggest thing that I miss is seeing me pals on a Saturday, whether it's being away game or whether it's in the black and gold before game, or upstairs in the lounge after a game. That's the reason why I go. It's the social element of it, and it's.
Well, that's 2 years nearly since we fans. And if you think about it, mm-hmm. you know, when it was early. Well, this is 2021. I mean, we had no fans in this winter, and we didn't have any in from the January of the previous season.
Yeah, it was a Edinburgh University game at home, wasn't it? The community day.
February it was. Yes, mm-hmm. you're right. It was a February. That was the last one. It was a midweek game, I think, from memory, wasn't it? No,
Saturday.
It was a Saturday.
Yeah.
It was this season when it was midweek when they were down. It was a Saturday. Yes, that was the last one.
How would you like to be in with a chance of winning £1,000 every month? If that sounds appealing to you, because it sure does to me, you need to join Berwick Rangers Supporters Club's monthly draw. For just £5 per month, you'll go into a draw with hundreds of other Dream Team supporters to win the monthly jackpot. In addition to the £1,000 prize, the Supporters Club will be donating £250 each month to a chosen local charity, with the rest of the profits from the draw going to the football club. For details on how to sign up, visit berwickrangers.com or message the Supporters Organisation on Facebook, Berwick Rangers Supporters Club, or on Twitter at BRFC Sup Club. Berwick Rangers Supporters Club, supporting your club and your community.
So, Dennis, you mentioned Dave Smith before. How good was he?
Best player ever to wear a black and gold shirt, in my opinion. I mean, I can't go back to the 50s era. You know, I didn't see there was a great team in the early 50s when they beat Dundee in the Scottish Cup. There were some great players, but I didn't know those players. But Dave Smith was, without a doubt, the best player to wear a black and gold shirt. He made it look so comfortable. Dave really tackled. He just read the game so well, you know. Just swept up at the back there. His distribution was outstanding. Dave's philosophy was, you're a better team than them, go and beat them. You know, that was Dave's philosophy. And he had the players in his team. He had that right mixture of players. You know, he had Flair. He had a couple of lads who stood no nonsense. You know, Davy Moyes, Stuart Wheatley, playing in the central midfield roles. And he had them alongside Jimmy Morton, who has that culture, you know, left foot. And Jim came in from Brecon. I think we paid something like 10,000 for him. Billy Lang was part of the deal going the other way. But Jim scored 20 goals from midfield. He took all the penalties, took the free kicks, just had this knack of pinging them in, you know. But you had, you know, Dave just had that team just knitted up to win the league. You know, it had everything, really. And Peter Davidson playing wide right. Peter came in from Blue Star, who had won the FA Vars. Peter scored goals. He had tremendous pace. So you had that Dave Smith, Jimmy Morton, Peter Davidson triangle. You know, not just three players, but he also had that little bit of steel in the team as well. It was a great team, outstanding team. And Dave Dave was a tremendous capture for the club, really. You know, you're looking at a player who graced Ibrox and he had Scottish, maybe not as many caps as he could have had, played for Aberdeen at high level, went to America, played for Los Angeles Aztecs with George Best and Charlie Cook, and was a huge capture for the club, you know. Full time, came in, lived in the town. Great times, happy times.
So you talked about Dave Smith, Peter Davison, Jimmy Morton. You've mentioned Eric Tate on the podcast a little bit earlier on too, and all four of them were part of your all-time dream team, your 11 that you picked for the support as trust.
Yeah. I mean, Eric couldn't not be in the team. Eric had, 17 seasons with the club. I signed Eric from Coldstream when Harry was manager, you know. I think played a couple of footballs or something for him, you know. And Eric was an outstanding striker for the club, you know. He even played in goal in one game, but he could play at the back as well.
Played every position.
He played in every position. But I mean, striker was his position. The number 10 role was his position. You know, when Eric and Mickey Lawson, Mickey was a great player at Meadowbank as well, but Eric and Mickey were a great pair up front, you know, scored a lot of goals between them for the club. Eric would be in the team automatically. So would Peter, so would Jimmy Morton, so would Dave Smith. All four of those would be in my dream team. As they are, I've picked them, you know.
Yeah. So, like I said, you've done it for the Supporters Trust. So if anyone wants to see that, if you go to berwickrangers.org, article will be available to you. So enjoy reading that. It is a very good read. It does span over the 11 players, but also you've got your substitutes in there, and you've got your players that have just missed out on the squad. I counted them.
I could have went on forever more, Adam, to be honest with you. I mean, I think I had about another 30 I put in just as a backup. But I've probably missed some that I should have had in, you know. Just trying to remember them. But
so how difficult a task was it to try and come up with an 11?
Oh, it was difficult. Although I'm quite happy with the team I picked, I've got to say. It's very attacking minded. There's hardly a defensive player in the team. I think I might score a few goals. but yeah, I'd like to see that team playing together. Let's see how they would do. I'm digressing, but I've got to mention, I mean, we had some great times, we had some bad times as well, as you know, at the club. And one of the worst times was on a Friday night when we had problems with the stand, you know, the stand roof. And I got a phone call, I think it was 10 to 5 on a Friday, from Jim Farry, who at that time was Secretary of the Scottish League. The County Council had withdrawn the safety certificate on the Friday because of the condition of the roof. Wow. Dangerous.
And there was a game on the Saturday?
Kilmarnock.
Wow.
Kilmarnock, a league game. And we were basically told that we had to find a neutral venue to play the match. Less than 24 hours later. And as it happened, because of the connection with George Deans, his dad Hamish was with the Hearts. Hearts were playing away on the Saturday, and we got the use of Tynecastle.
Yeah.
And we beat Kilmarnock 3-2. And we had Kenny Wharton playing for us in that match, ex-Newcastle United.
Yeah.
He was playing as a trialist, left back. But, I mean, the roof came off eventually, and we were playing. You'll have seen some old footage. I think the Ross County Cup game was won when they were non-league. The 7-4 game, there's no roof on the stand.
Yeah.
You know, the roof was off, and then that was difficult times for the club. And then, of course, when the Greyhounds got involved, they were the ones who put the roof back on the stand. And they took over the lease at the time. And we were playing nomadic for a while, you know. We ended the season playing at Court Bridge, Stenhousemuir, East Fife. You know, crowds about 80 or something at the games.
You must have seen some things during your time, like.
Oh, yeah, seen it all.
I bet.
Yeah. We've always tried to pride ourselves in being as professional as Rangers would be, if you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter which team you are, the SFA and the Scottish League don't treat you any differently. If you make an error, you're going to get the same penalties as clubs would get in the top leagues, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got huge staff and backup staff, and you know, we have to still do that job to the best of our ability and make sure we don't fall down. I get to the stage where I get paranoid and I pester the league. Well, it's not the Scottish League now, but it was at the time. And the SFA, if we're signing players. Or I never take a chance when we sign a player that he's not carrying a suspension. I always contact the SFA and say, look, I need to find out, has this player got any suspensions? You can check it online, but I never take it as read. But you have to do the job, no matter what league you're in, to the best of your ability and professionally. And touch wood, I think we should have always kept our heads above water.
I'll go back about you're talking about making sure that players don't have suspensions. Do you want to tell us a story about Robbie Manson?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. It was the promotion season, and Robbie Manson had come to us from the East of Scotland League and played right back and was pretty much a regular in the team. And we played a game at Shielfield, and I can't remember who the referee was now, but never mind that, by the way. But we found out, in those days you used to get a letter, not like it is now, it's all online now. You know, you have your own, Bright Rangers have their own unique extranet page at the SFA, which is our page, which is everything about the club on it, yeah. Records, suspensions, discipline, anything you want, appearances, etc. But then you would get a letter. So we got a letter to say that Robbie Manson had been cautioned in the game on the Saturday. I think it could have been Cowden Beath at Berwick. And he'd gone through the barrier, so he would miss the match at Dumbarton. It was always 2 weeks later when it was a caution add-up, you know. It wasn't like a red card where you would normally be suspended for the next game. If it was going through the barrier and you picked up the points limit, you would automatically miss a game 2 weeks later. That's still the case with cautions, 2 weeks later, if you go through the barrier. And I said to John, John, I don't think Robbie was booked in that game. So John said the same. We checked with Robbie. He said he hadn't been booked. We found out that we'd had two cautions in the same minute, and they'd come through from the assistant referee, from the linesman. And we queried it with the SFA, with Drew Herbertson, who was head of discipline at the time. And Drew obviously was going on what he had received from the match officials. So as luck would have it, there was a match referee observer at the game, and I contacted him. He keeps a record as well of all the cautions, etc. He had no record of it. And he put a report into the SFA and said that in his opinion, there'd been a slip-up here, that Robbie hadn't been cautioned. And because of the backing we got from him, that caution was rescinded. So in the game that Robbie would have missed at Dumbarton, he scored the winning goal 2 weeks later. And we won, I think, 1-0 or 2-1 or something like that.
Love that, but it's attention to detail again, Dennis, isn't it?
It's just keeping an eye on it, you know. I mean, to get two cautions in the same minute seems so difficult. But the match officials were quite convinced that he had been cautioned. But we got, because we were fortunate, and I think we wouldn't have got away with it if we hadn't had the backup from the referee observer who was at the game.
Yeah, I just thought that was a good story for... To coincide with the suspension side of things, but yeah, to go back to your 11, obviously you've selected that. We've talked about how difficult that was. Who is the sort of players that you've enjoyed watching the most aside from?
Well,
sort of your days?
I'll whip through the 11 if it's all right with you.
Yeah, of course, go for it.
I know some of the people will have seen them already, but I picked Gary O'Connor in goal. I could have picked Murray McDermott, Neil Young, John Lyle, etc. But Gary had four spells at the club and won the championship medal in 2006-07. I think he broke his nose in that game from memory. Arbroath thought they'd scored, but the Stanside assistant, Willie Dishington, who's now a Speedway referee, chalked that goal off, you know, and the referee took his word for it, you know, because I think they had fouled Gary in the build-up to the goal. So Gary came from Hearts originally in early 90s, 92, 93, and made nearly 300 appearances for the club. I've got to thank Alan Bell, by the way, for his records on appearances and goals, etc. And then after his last spell at the club, Gary went on to Newton Grange Star. But, I mean, we still see a lot of Gary. And he was my first pick for goalie, without a shadow of a doubt. Four spells at the club.
Yeah.
Deserved his championship medal. Looks as if he could be playing in the goal. Still looks fit. I went with a back four. I deliberated on a back three, but I went with a back four. I went with Willie Callaghan at right back from the Harry Melrose era. I mean, former Scottish international. Dunfermline, stalwart, came to us 72-73, played a couple of seasons with us, full-back, right-back. A great signing by Harry at the time, you know, still had a lot of football in him. Centre-backs, I've gone with Roy McDowell and Dave Smith. Roy was centre-half, sadly no longer with us, as you know, passed away in 2019. Came in from Kelso United, 71, 10 seasons. Had a spell in Ireland as well with Drogheda. Won a championship medal. And obviously came in as chairman as well later on in his time with the club. 362 appearances for Berwick, 7 goals. Dave alongside him. The two of them played together in the championship season, obviously. I've mentioned Dave already. As you know, he came in from Los Angeles Aztecs, 180 appearances with us, 12 goals, including some penalties. Great left foot. I remember a game at a Scottish Cup tie at Burnt Island when we played them up there. The winners were... The draw had been made for the next round as well, so the winners were to be home to Raith Rovers. Well, that was Kirkcaldy, which was next door to Burnt Island. I think half of Kirkcaldy was at the game. And they were around the pitch around a rope, you know. I mean, Dave was taking throw-ins, corners, everything. A lot of Rangers fans there as well. And Dave loved that. He was having a bit of patter with the fans. But the interesting thing with that game, it was a bit of a mud bath. And at the kickoff, we used to always pass the ball back to Dave. And Dave would nutmeg somebody. You can bet your boots he would nutmeg somebody. But that day, the ball stuck in the mud, and we were a goal down after 25 seconds.
Oh, no.
And it was still 1-0 coming up to half-time, but we got a penalty just near half-time, and Dave stuck it away, and we won 4-1 in the end. I remember Stuart White, who had come to us, I think, from Stenismere, came on and scored a couple of goals for us. Mm-hmm. But Dave went on to go to Meadowbank and Huntley. He was player manager at Huntley for a while. Still see Dave now and again, and he was down for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
great player. I've picked Gary Morgan for left back ahead. There's so many good left back: Alan Banks, Chris McGrody. I picked Gary Morgan, who came into us from Consett in the Northern League, 83-84. Played a couple of seasons for us. I remember him scoring a wonder goal at Dunfermline from about 30 yards. Mm-hmm. He played 77 times for us and went on to play for Darlington after he left us. So that was probably one of the hardest ones to pick for left back, because I could have picked Banksy or Chris McGrory. Chris played in that championship season.
Team, yeah. Remember
Chris. Yeah, good player. Good player, yeah. Midfield, I've called them midfield, but two of them could play up front. I picked Peter Davidson wide on the right. Mm-hmm. He came in, as I said to you earlier, from Blue Star. The late Nat Steele was our northeast of England scout. Nat brought a lot of good players up from the northeast of England. Gary Morgan, Kevin Cross, who came in as well from Consett. Peter was a top player, and we sold him to Queen's Park Rangers for £40,000. Tommy Docherty was the manager.
Yeah.
But he'd never really got a regular first-team run, and it came back to us for, I think, around half that fee. But he scored 56 goals in 251 games for us. And then he went back to play for Blue Star. I think he was helping out at Ponteilin for a while as well. Martin Neal I've picked in the centre of midfield. Martin joined us from Sheffield Rangers, who were in the local leagues at the time, 88-89. tremendous football brain, could score goals as well. He went to Dundee United on a full transfer, but never really worked out for Martin at Dundee United. I think it was Jim McLean would be the manager. But he made nearly 400 appearances for us and scored 44 goals. And then Martin still played on after he left. He was playing North and Southern League for Lowick for a while. Still looks great. Looks fit. Martin Cioa, Martin still does a lot of walking. Left side of mid.
I've only seen him in the last time I saw him was at Stephen Notman's testimonial.
Yeah, Martin could still play, yeah, I think, without a shadow of a doubt. Left side of midfield, Jim Morton came from Brecon, 78-79, 20 goals that season. Free kicks, penalties, you name it. Overall, he's got 27 goals in 64 games for us. A couple of seasons, then he transferred to St Johnstone, and he had a great success at St Johnstone as well. I think Jim went to to Australia for a while, but he's back living in England now, and I still keep up with him on Facebook.
All right.
I'm sure he's living down in the south area of England.
Uh-huh.
Just in behind the front two, I picked Roddy Georgeson. Roddy could play up front as well, of course. Roddy had a great time with Ian Hall up front. But Roddy came from Raith Rovers. Mm-hmm. But he had two spells with us. Also played for Dunfermline, Montrose, then went on to Meadowbank. Came originally in 73-74, eventually left us 79-80. Great scoring record, 48 goals in 151 games. Roddy, you could play in a front three, but I put him in just behind the front two. Up front, I went with Ian Hall, picked Ian ahead of some other top forwards. Sadly taken from us at a young age through serious illness. Ian joined us 71-72 from Darlington. Was top scorer in his three seasons at Berwick. 56 goals in 122 games. I remember us going up to Hamilton. Ian and Roddy up front, George Douglas in the number 8 shirt, and we ripped Hamilton apart 4-0. Two goals from Ian, two from Roddy. He played in South Africa for a while for Durban City as well, but sadly, leukemia took Ian from us at a very young age. And beside him, I've got Eric, who needs no introduction, 69-70 from Coldstream. He was player-manager, 82-83, right through to 87-88. 200 games as player-manager, with more than a 50% win-and-draw ratio. 525 all-in appearances for the club and 114 goals. Eric still played on after he left the club, went on to play for Spring Hill. So that's the 11, Adam. And the subbies I've gone with 12 because they're like a World Cup score. Two keepers, Murray McDermott, who came from Raith Rovers with £30,000, one of the top civil servants in the Scottish Government. When you rang, if you rang Murray in his office at Andrew's house in Edinburgh, Mr. McDermott's office speaking. sadly, passed away in 2003 after a serious illness. John Lyle was the other keeper on the bench, ex-Queen of the South, played in the Cup against Rangers here in 78. Mm-hmm. Five seasons with us, 177 games. At the back, I went with John Hughes, who's now manager at Ross County, I think.
Yeah.
Went on to sign for Swansea for us, from Berwick for £80,000. Came back up to Scotland at Falkirk. Davy Moyes played in the Championship team. In 78-79, fullback or right half as it was then. Grant McNichol, again, great defender, great in the air, great all-round defender. Craig Valentine, the other one, not the tallest, but probably one of the best headers of a ball you could ever see. He was a great capture from East House's boys club. Lost him eventually on a tribunal to Alloa when Tom Henry moved to Alloa. We lost a lot of players that time. In those days, even over 23s, you could get money back. You know, you don't now on a tribunal. It has to be under 23. With Valley at the back in midfield, I've gone with Darren Smith, who's still at the club. Yeah. Mark Anthony, who came in from Celtic. Stevie Notman, who had a couple of spells with us, one on loan from Hibs when he won the championship medal 2006-07, and had his testimonial here. The other one a lot of fans won't remember is a chap called Frank Echelon, who was a French lad. He was a winger, right side midfield. He came over from Caen in France to be on trial with Morton, so he'd got cleared into Scotland. But Morton didn't offer him a place, and we got tipped that he was available, and we took him in. And he didn't play a lot of games for us, believe it or not. He only played 7, 2 goals, but he was such a hit that Ross County paid £10,000 for him. And he, after 7 games, he went to Ross County, and then eventually went back to play in France. Darren needs no introductions. Netted one of the best ever goals seen in a Berwick Rangers shirt at Hampden against Queen's Park when he ran more than half the length of the pitch. 220 games, 37 goals, and still counting. Mark Anthony, Celtic, played in the Celtic first team.
Yeah.
Big signing for us. Outstanding in the cup match with Rangers here in 2002. Stevie Notman again needs no introduction. Went on to play for Vale Leiden for a time and then came back to Berwick. Up front, subbies, I've got Gary Wood, who was in that championship-winning team with John, and Warren Hawke. Warren was a huge signing for us. Came in as full-time and looked after the youth setup as well. Had been in the Sunderland FA Cup team. Had a spell with Scarborough. Such a huge goal scorer for us. 68 games, 22 goals. Moved on to Morton for a big fee. Did a great job for Morton. Was chief executive of Morton for a while. And he's also been involved with the PFA. And, of course, he's back on our books here, if you like. He's involved with the foundation. Gary Wood played centre-half as well for us. Came from Ross County.
Gary's my favourite all-time player. I say it all the time, but he is.
He could have played up front, you know, alongside Eric. It was between him and Ian Hall. But, I mean, there's so many other players that could have been in the team. You know, Billy Bennett, Graham Armstrong, Brian Marshall, Gareth Hutchison, Gordon Lang, Hugh McCann, Ian McLeod, Ian Cashmore, Ian Smith, John Sokolook. I'm just rattling through a few names here. Kevin Walton, Lindsay Muir, Mickey Lawson, Paul Forrester, Stuart Romanus, Stuart Wheatley, Tom Davidson, Willie Irvine, Neil Oliver, Scott Sloan, who signed for Newcastle United from us, Kev Haynes, who's still with us, of course, Ian Little, still with us, Kevin Todd, another big signing from the northeast of England, Chris McGroarty, Robbie Horn, Darren Lavery, Darren Gribben, Alan Banks, Neil Young. Just rattling a few more names off.
Darren Lavery didn't come close to beating Eric's record, but he's come the closest of recent years.
Yeah.
Do you think Eric's record will ever be beat?
No, I don't. Honestly, I can't see it. I mean, Darren was a 20 goals a season man for a while for us, you know, 18, 20 goals a season man for 3 seasons. And then dropped back into midfield for a while and then just seemed to lose interest with football, which is a shame. I don't think Darren's even playing for anybody.
No.
I haven't seen him, his name around anywhere.
No, I haven't.
So that's the team, Adam, rightly or wrongly.
It's your team, so it can't be. It can't be.
I think it's 4 goals.
Well, you're going to play, 4-1-5?
I went with a 4-3-1-2 formation. With Roy McDowell as captain, and Harry Melrose as manager.
Spot on.
So that's it, that's the team.
That's great, and like I said, if you do want to see the team and how it's laid out, Dennis has also wrote a little bit around the team too. Go and pick up the Trust magazine at berwickrangers.org.
Club 1881 is your opportunity to be part of a community of Dream Team supporters, helping to transform the club's financial fortunes. For just £18.81 per month, you can help your club become a more sustainable one, safeguarding the future of Berwick Rangers Football Club and building a solid foundation for the club to target future success from. Club 1881 members receive access to exclusive JERS content, ranging from podcasts to videos, player interviews to meet the management team sessions, newsletters to club shop sales and more. And if that wasn't enough, all Club 1881 members will gain free admission to all home Lowland League fixtures, where they might even scoop a £200 jackpot through the bond scheme number also included in their membership fee. To become a Club 1881 member today, simply head to berwickrangers.com/shop/club1881. One team, your team, dream team.
Dennis, how much involvement do you have with signings?
I do all the paperwork. Mm-hmm. I don't have any negotiations, if you follow me.
Yeah.
And that's the board and the manager's side of the business. But every signing I deal with, if you follow me.
Yeah.
You know, all the paperwork is done by myself. I mean, it's all online now, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. All the registrations are online. So we don't physically need to meet players as much as we used to do. You know, if we're signing somebody, it can be done digitally. The SFA are quite happy for that to be done. So it's obviously it's different from what it was in the league. It's what's called an SFA player agreement now that we use in our league with an addendum. An addendum gives more detail of discipline clauses, you know, any other clauses you might want to add in over the piece, you know, if you ever have win bonuses or appearances, which used to happen in the Scottish League. You build those in, you take it over your 40 games for the season. So that's obviously, if it's a new signing, you have to do what's called a player registration form as well. Now, that is exactly the same as Rangers or Celtic would use. So you've got, for a new player, you've got three. If he's unattached, you've got a registration, you've got an SFA player agreement, and you've got an addendum. Those get signed, witnessed, and they get uploaded to the SFA extranet. Similar with loans, if you're loaning a player out, it goes up to the club who have the player do all the paperwork. So when we've loaned out in the past few weeks, Callum Smith, Andrew McNeil, and Ryan Finney, we do the paperwork, and we submit it to the other team, and they complete it, and the player signs it, and we upload it at our end. If we were bringing a player in on loan, it would work the other way around, you know.
Right.
We would sign it and send it back to the other team. If you're buying a player on a transfer, which admittedly doesn't happen a lot nowadays, but you have to do an SFA player transfer form, which is the same form you use for a loan. So you have a tick box, you know, for permanent transfer, standard temporary transfer, emergency transfer, although they don't use emergencies in the league anymore. We used to use them a lot in the league when we were involved.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could get a 28-day emergency. But it's the same sort of form, but you also have to back it up with a financial agreement.
Right.
Which gives the whole clause of the transfer, how much you're paying for the player, how you're paying it, you know, if you're breaking it down over a certain number of periods, the VAT involvement, there's VAT on transfers.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be built in, signed by all three parties, the club who are selling the player, the club who are buying the player, and the player. And that has to be uploaded. The agreement is uploaded with a transfer form. So if we are buying a player, for argument's sake, say we're buying a player from Stenismere, Margaret at Stenismere would do all the paperwork, send it to us, we would complete it. We'd go back to Margaret, she would upload it. We would then go in and confirm it once she had done that. As soon as we confirm it, we have to upload the player's contract. Mm-hmm. That must follow immediately. So you have to have that prepped as well, you know, ready.
Yeah.
So as soon as the transfer form goes through, you upload the contract, or in this case, SFA agreement, and the addendum and the player's registration. And then the SFA will check that at Hampden online, and then they'll send you an email to say the transfer of such and such player has been approved. You go into your extranet and you immediately find that he's now on your player list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a hiccup, something's gone wrong with the form for whatever reason, and in all honesty, it happens, they'll come back and say that it's been refused, and they'll tell you why, or right, you've missed a tick box, or a signature's missed, or whatever, you know, so you have to just resubmit it, you know.
There's so much that goes into it.
Has happened. It has happened. With the best will in the world. Not so much recently, but it has happened.
No, you wouldn't have thought as much had to go into it, but I guess obviously there's times where there's going to be a lot of money that's involved.
I mean, the extranet is the Bible, you know, our own extranet. You can keep it now and everything that's happening, including your club license, your pitch markings. You get marked out of five by the referees. We are the top grass pitch in the Lowland League at the moment on marks.
Go on, Ross Aitchison.
For the past year. It goes on a February to February ratio. And we are the top. I think we are fourth in the overall setup. We're ahead of a lot of the, what we call the AstroTurf pitches, if you like, for a better word. We're ahead of a lot of those. Mm-hmm. We're averaging something like 4.5 out of 5 on our pitch markings.
Ross is great, though. Ross puts a lot of time into his work.
I did take umbrage with the referee on one of the marks. I won't say who it is and what game it was.
What happened though?
We got a 3 and I took umbrage because I thought it was worth 4 at least. Mm-hmm. And I just said, where did you get the 3 from? It didn't change, can I say.
Has there been any like transfers that have been your favourite? Is there any that sort of stand out for you?
Coming into the club?
Yeah, because it would be a bit harsh if we did going out. You happy to see the back of them?
No, not really. Cause, I mean, in fairness, I have very little to do with the players. I mean, obviously see them and speak to them and friendly with them, but I never get to know their quirks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's the dressing room side of the business. I was pleased to see players like Danny Swanson and Martin Neal getting a chance at top level, you know.
Yeah.
I know it didn't work out for Martin, but Danny... Danny was a good capture. Came in from, I think it was Leith Athletic, and John's period with the club in the mid-2000 era there, when he was in a championship score, although he was injured most of the season and didn't play a lot. Mm-hmm. And then he moved on, as you know, and I think he went up to Dundee United, didn't he, Danny? We got money for him. I think we got £40,000. With a built-in clause that if you got an international cap, we'd get more money. And we also built a clause in, If they transferred him for anything over 40,000, we got 10% of that ongoing transfer.
All right, yeah.
So if they told him for 100 grand, we would have got 10% of 60 grand. You know, I mean, in fact, it might even been 20% from memory.
Wow.
But unfortunately, he was out of contract, and he ended up at Peterborough United on a free transfer.
Yeah.
So we didn't qualify for anything. You know, when Danny's back in Scotland, and he played for Hearts, played for Hibs down here, and he played for St Johnstone, I think. And I think he's with East Fife now.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Had him on last year on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice to see those lads progressing. Going, young lads moving on and looking to progress in their career, you know. Frank Ashkelon going up to Ross County for what was a decent amount of money. 10,000 for a player who'd only played 7 games.
7 games, yeah. Do you get excited when there's a transfer that's going to be done?
Yeah, I get excited when we're signing players. You're thinking, well, you know, this lad's going to do a decent job for us, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're always thinking. I mean, it's not so easy now. You know, you're in the Lowland League. Let's be honest. You know.
Yeah.
Players are players, and do they think in their mind, I don't really fancy the Lowland League, it's a step down for me, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's not the case, because it's such a good league. It's the equivalent of the National League in England.
Yeah.
The Lowland and the Highland Leagues. And you just need to look at some of the players who are playing in the Lowland League. You know, your Nathan Austin's at Kelty, to name but one, who's just been out on loan to East Fife, but had to go back to Kelty before the end of March so that he was eligible to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So he's back at Kelty. But I mean, Nathan Austin was playing full-time for Inverness.
Yeah, he played in the playoff game, didn't he? He played in the Premier League playoff game.
Yeah. And I mean, the other one that stands out on their team was an RX player. Dylan Eason. Goodness me. I signed Dylan from Livingston for nothing. We got him for nothing.
Uh-huh.
He'd fallen out of favour at Livingston. Like, Ian Little was at Livingston at the time as youth coach.
Uh-huh.
And Dylan took off here. And
he's brilliant.
We eventually got money for him on a compensation tribunal. Well, it didn't go to tribunal, but we got compensation.
Uh-huh.
Agreed a compensation deal with St Johnstone for him. And he went to St Johnstone and did really well there and had a spell at Forfar. But I mean, you remember when Kelty were down here this season, he ran the show.
Yeah.
I think Dylan could be the best player in the Lowland League, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with you on that. Definitely, he was yeah, exceptional.
Dylan was great for us. You know, we did well to get him, and we got him on a free. But you know, it's good if you're always thinking of Ian or Kevin or the board are bringing players in. You're thinking, well, this is a good signing. You know, we could do a really good job for us.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's been some really good players coming to our team over the last year. You know, players who've played in a really good standard of football. You know, some of the signings we made in the past year have been good signings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Callum Smith was a big goal scorer with Dundonald. You know, I'm just fucking names out of the air. David Ferguson played at the top level, you know. Ryan Finney's played at the top level. That's just three names. Kevin Waugh was in the Hibs first team. We've made some good signings. Lewis Allen was in the Hibs first team 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Scoring goals for them. We tried to sign Lewis a couple of times on loan, but never worked out, you know. Hibs weren't keen to let him go. We had a great relationship with Hibs. You know, we had a lot of players we got on loan from Hibs for a time. And as you know, Hibs would come down here every season.
Yeah.
And they loved coming down to Bury because they knew they were going to get a good playing surface in July. and they played here, I think, 3 or 4 seasons running. And you could bet your bottom dollar it was nearly always the first team. I think there was one game where they sent a mixed team down, you know. But we were getting that full team. And we were getting crowds of, 1,200? For a pre-season friendly, and Hibs, brilliant to deal with. You know, they would just say, we're just looking for a bus and some complimentary tickets.
Oh,
so that was found money for the club in the summertime, you know. The cup runs, I mean, you go back to when we got the quarterfinal 5 years ago, roughly.
When and we played Hibs.
Manager, Colin Cameron.
Yeah.
Played Hibs. And it's common knowledge, so I'm not speaking out of turn. We made £160,000 in one day.
It's not bad money to be made, is it?
Well, I mean, the next season we got knocked out in the first round at Annan.
Uh-huh.
You know, you'd probably end up getting 4,000 or something through the sponsors. But I mean, we got that was your money from Sky because it was live.
Uh-huh.
That was your half gate receipts. Obviously, the home team keep the VAT and 20% for what they call admin costs. You know,
yep.
The rest split. We got money from the BBC because they were showing the highlights. And then we got extra money through William Hill for getting to the quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsors.
That's great, isn't it?
That was one Sunday lunchtime. Cost us a bus. I think probably cost us £400.
Well, it was Lavery that scored the goal. We're talking about me. It was Lavery that scored the goal that took us there, wasn't it? And Spartans.
I mean, going to that's right, yeah. Going to Ibrox and playing Rangers in the Scottish League, you know, that'll never happen again.
No.
You know, probably playing in front of 100,000 people in 2 games at Ibrox.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back from 3-0 down to 3-2 in one of the games and giving them a little fright, you know.
Yeah.
I think Iowa came and then they got a 4th and beat us 4-2. And then the last game of the season, they got the championship trophy. I think we needed to just ensure we didn't do anything silly to get into the playoffs. I think Elgin were the only team that could have maybe caught us to get in the top 4.
Uh-huh.
We lost 1-0. That was live on television as well, that game. And then Rangers got the championship trophy. It was 50-odd thousand at that game.
Yeah, it's still a record, isn't it? The highest attendance at that level.
Yeah, yep.
I've only got a couple of questions left for you. The first one should be a quick one. And that's who put the talk in the bed at Stonehaven.
Nobody admitted it.
Oh, did they
Nobody not? Admitted it, but could have been any of 20 candidates. It was like the great cloud of London when I went into the bed. It just took off.
Well, that's my challenge. I will find out who's the list.
That was at the Commodore at Stonehaven on a Friday night when we were playing Peterhead on the Saturday in the Scottish Cup. When they were still Highland League side. We beat them 2-1 from memory, I think. And we got Celtic in the next round at Berwick. Yeah, I don't know who did that. I think Eric Tate was one of the prime candidates.
Was it?
And maybe the late, great P. Oliver.
Yeah. Just finally, Dennis, 50 years with a club. What is your plans for the future?
Well, I'm 74 now. And you think to yourself, I still enjoy it. I must be honest. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I've a couple of times in the last few years, I've said, oh, it's about time to step down. You know. I know we're looking at possibly somebody coming in just to sort of work with me in the next year.
All right.
I think that's important as well. Craig and I talked about it. It's important because you never know what's around the corner. You know. And it would be foolish to expect somebody just to jump straight in and take over, you know, without any backup prior knowledge. So that the plan would be to get somebody in. And that's been the plan for the last season and a bit, but it hasn't happened, obviously, with the pandemic, et cetera, you know. But
yeah.
It will happen. And I think eventually just come a time then to maybe step down. But at the moment... I still enjoy it, and it actually keeps you going and keeps your mind active as well, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I've still got a little bit involved with the Speedway, albeit not as much as I used to have, but I still help out, you know, do a bit of announcing, timekeeping, do the riders' averages and things like that, just to help out, just keeps you involved. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, I haven't any plans to step down, but
yeah.
I think... there'll come a time in the very near future when that will happen.
Well, you've been an absolute legend with the club. Obviously, you're a Hall of Famer for a reason. So it's very much appreciated the work that you do. And you can see across not only our league, but throughout the lower leagues in Scotland, how well you're thought of, how well you're respected. So, yeah, thanks for everything, Dennis. And thanks very much for being a guest on the podcast today.
Thanks. Thanks, Adam. I've enjoyed it. I hope it hasn't gone on too long and rambled on too much.
No, it's been excellent.
Come back to you, don't they, when you start, you know?
They do.
Okay, thanks, Adam.